Eric, it is deadline day for the Raptors. But first question is, are you surprised it has come to this time that they have not made a decision up until now on whether or not Brian Colangelo is going to run this team next year?
Yes. To be perfectly blunt, I am surprised it has taken this long, Raj. And that's part of the reason why I wonder if there's more to all of this than simply a yay or nay decision that, you know, ultimately we assume comes today. And I say we assume. Is there a possibility that a decision doesn't come today? And even if it's if the day passes and you haven't, you know, reached that deadline and made a formal decision, does that ultimately mean that he's not returning as either GM or president or some sort of other capacity? I think there's still a possibility of negotiating a deal with him if you chose to want him. And I think there's just so many balls up in the air right now, Raj, in terms of, yes, this decision has taken a long time. I didn't think it would take this long. I didn't think it would come to a deadline day. But how much does the ultimate successor come into play if let's just, I'm playing, and you know how much I hate this, Raj, the fantasy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But let me create a scenario for you. If Masai Ujiri, a former assistant of Colangelo, is out there right now in Denver and has been linked in reports, originally reported by Adrian Wojnarowski at Yahoo Sports, if that is legitimate and the Raptors are potentially pursuing Ujiri and others, if they were to get Masai Ujiri, would Masai come here and want to not have Brian Colangelo dangling out there, or wouldn't want to come in and replace his former mentor and his friend, Colangelo? Would part of the deal be, I will come there, but I don't like the optics of me basically taking this guy's job, a guy that I used to work for. I want him taken care of. Is that part of the reason why this has dragged on as long as it has, Raj? The fact that they're trying to figure out whether there's still a role for Colangelo, and to make sure that from an optic standpoint, he still looks okay. Remember, the league had a hand in helping the Raptors go out and find Colangelo, bring him to Toronto, get him signed, take over this team for the last 7 years. And the Colangelo name has deep roots in the NBA and in the NBA head office. So is there even a sense of, you know, even the biggest Colangelo critic right now that's sitting at home saying, I don't like him, I don't like what he's done, I don't like any moves he's made, it's time for him to go, whatever. There still is, whether you like it or not, a human element to all of this, where I think there could be a lot of political stuff at play as well, where you're trying to take care of a guy to not just sort of cast him off in the NBA landscape, considering a two-time executive of the year, and thinking about what his path may be as far as another job in the league with another organization, or maybe even with the league office one day. So I think there are a lot of things at play. Again, this is just my theory, but I think there's a lot of things at play, hence the reason why this has dragged on as long as it has. And we've ultimately come to a D-Day type scenario.
Well, I totally agree, and I hear all that, and I understand all that, but have they not already disrespected the two-time NBA Executive of the Year by having reports saying that they're talking to a former assistant of his of replacing him, and they're sort of waiting? Like, I mean, sometimes, Eric, you know, I totally get that, and I understand the logic behind it and the Colangelo name and everything else, but I think it's pretty disrespectful for a guy who's been around the NBA for that long to have to, just like we all do, you mentioned the human element, how would you like to be a guy like that sitting around and you're hearing reports that they're looking, you know, for people to replace you, and well, we'll just have to wait and see how it turns out. I mean, you know, Eric, this is an organization that is trying to establish itself as a destination instead of an alternative. And you know what I mean by that? It's absolutely like, well, I got no other place to play, so I guess I'll go to Toronto. No, you know what? I think I'd like to be in Toronto, and I think there's been a lot of damage done here. Maybe I overread it too much, and maybe I'm too sensitive about it, but I'll tell you what, I don't think I'd want to be doing anything bad PR-wise with Brian Colangelo, and I think they already have.
And Raj, to your point, I don't disagree with the word you just said, because I think that if my scenario is not correct and yours is more closer to the truth, then it is bad, because I honestly don't think that the players are looking at the situation around the league saying, ooh, I don't know if I want to go to Toronto, look at the way they handled their GM situation. I think the players look at a lot of situations around the league and say, is that a winning team? Is that a playoff contending team? Is that a championship contending team? Does that team have a future as far as a championship contending team? That's where I want to go. Oh, and by the way, how much money are they going to pay me?
Yeah, but Eric, isn't that largely based on who the general manager is, though?
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
But I think that what you're doing is you're hurting your potential prospects as far as a general manager who is ultimately going to make those moves and put you in the right direction, hopefully, and make those moves to get those players to become that playoff championship contending team. So I think the damage could be being done very easily, to your point, Raj, with other GMs around the league that say, you know what, if that's the way they're handling the situation, do I really want to be a part of that? And then I think the issue then will be established general managers, guys with cachet, guys that with a track record, I think might make that decision. The assistants, the guys that are still looking for that first job, looking for that first opportunity, they might have to look beyond it and say, you know what, it seems like a little crazy and it seems like maybe it's a mess, but I need an opportunity, I need that first job. But then that plays back into, do the Raptors want to replace their current GM with a rookie general manager with a guy cutting his teeth, which speaks against what was ultimately said even by Tim Leiwicki himself about making a splash and having, you know, to turn the Raptors and having the Raptors aspire to be a team like the Lakers, like the Heat, and how important it was for him to come in and put the Raptors and FC on the right path and on a winning path. I mean, he made more references to the Raptors than he did the Maple Leafs, and more references even to FC than he did the Maple Leafs when, you know, initially having that conference call. So I think the emphasis on trying to get things turned around is huge, and I don't know that you do that with a rookie general manager. I think you need to do that with an established name in the game. And again, I go back to what I said up the top, and the Masai Ujiri thing may not happen at all, but it's just interesting that his name comes out. And Raj, I personally don't feel that it would be a quote-unquote bad thing for a former assistant to replace him. And the reason I say that is he may have been being groomed here in Toronto to eventually be that guy. Will Brian Colangelo eventually move into a president's role? Would Masai Ujiri take over? For years, we've heard about Colangelo and a potential job with the league office one day. Would Ujiri ultimately be the replacement? Even if that never did happen, you know, Raj, I think your years in the business, and I think even what I would say the same thing for me, if there's somebody working, you know, quote-unquote below me or even beside me, one of my right-hand men, and I'm not ready to leave yet, whether I'm doing a great job or not, I'm not ready to leave yet. I've still got a contract. So, you know what, I love you. You're a friend. You're a good guy. You're a good colleague. But another team comes calling, I'm not going to hold you back from your career and from an opportunity. So the Raptors allowed Ujiri to go. Now they're in a position where if Brian Colangelo is not their guy any longer and they feel like they need to go out and get somebody, and something I've said for a long time, I've said it on the post-game show a ton for the last few months, if Colangelo ultimately isn't back, and I just said this the other day even on primetime, I think it's important to have somebody that not only has cachet, but that understands this market. And I know some people have disagreed with me, but I don't know that you can just go pluck somebody from the NBA tree and say, you're good, come run our team. I think you have to understand the intricacies of this lone Canadian market and what it means, especially when the team isn't winning. And I think Ujiri makes a lot of sense because of that, because he now has the cachet, he has the respect around the league, he's the reigning executive of the year, but he also has connections and ties to the city. But then again, I go back to also the ties and the connections to Colangelo, who, by the way, he made a point of thanking and praising during his conference as a leader and as a mentor and a guy that he learned so much from, alongside Wayne Embry as well. And again, I might be very guilty here, Raj, of conspiracy theory, but I'm in my mind, I'm wondering, is that a calculated move to make sure that he was, you know, being nice to Colangelo, being nice to Embry, being nice to the guys that did so much for him, but at the same time knowing these might be guys that I'm working alongside too in the future, you know, as far as the potential to run that team and my contracts up in Denver, et cetera, and the list goes on. There's, you know, again, these are all wild theories, but it could speak to why the Raptors have allowed this to go on for so long and perhaps why they're maybe looking at creating a position for Colangelo to still exist but just not be their general manager.
Well,
theories. All
yeah,
theories.
Well, no theories, and they're reasonable theories, Eric, and it's good insight. The only thing I guess I'm having trouble getting my head around, if the whole idea of Leiwicki is to make a splash, and he's the guy who said it, and he has mentioned the Raptors, Eric, I would understand we're bringing in Phil Jackson. Oh, well, okay, that's a splash. We're bringing in a former assistant of Brian Colangelo, and we're going to let him dust in the wind for a while until we can figure out whether the two of them can be here. I still don't buy it. I just, that's not a splash in my mind. And I go back to the case. I just hope at the end of the day, for the Raptors' sake, the franchise's sake, the fan base's sake, that Brian Colangelo doesn't turn around and say, you know what, these guys jerk me around here. Because from the outside, it's beginning to look a little bit like that to me. I guess I'm off base, though. I don't know.
Well, no, Rod, you're not off base. Because all of mine is based on the theory of if that were to happen. If that doesn't happen, then yeah, for a month it's kind of been floating in the wind. I'll tell you, I mean, you take it a step further as far as Ed Stefanski goes as the assistant right now in town, and Mark Eversley as an assistant GM as well. These are two guys that, and with due respect to Eversley, Stefanski especially, who's run teams in Philadelphia and in New Jersey. And he worked alongside Rod Thorn in both cases, but in Philly, let alone in New Jersey, built the team with good young picks, built a good young core, and put the teams on the right path. I mean, if you look at the other names, even if you want to include Ujiri, but take him out of the mix and talk about whether it be, you know, Weaver in Oklahoma City or Kevin Pritchard. If I were Ed Stefanski, I might be looking at this saying, hold on a second. If we're talking about, you know, cachet and resume and experience in the league, all right, I've been around a couple of years now. I know the Toronto market. I've run two other teams. I've run two other teams well. New Jersey was a playoff team. We put a good core together, myself and Rod Thorne. We had a playoff contending team. You know, he was through the Vince Carter era with Jason Kidd and Richard Jefferson. He built some good young players with, you know, you think of Evan Turner and Thaddeus Young and Lou Williams and Drew Holiday and the likes in Philadelphia. He might be looking at saying, wait a second, why aren't I being given an opportunity then? I'm at least as good, if not better, than some of these candidates that are being rumored out there. So you've got an assistant GM that's sort of floating out there and dangling in the wind as well, the way that this sort of is unfolding and the fact that it's taken a month just to make a decision. And then you add to the mix, Rods, that the NBA draft lottery is tomorrow. So the draft lottery comes tomorrow, and the Raptors might have a minuscule chance of grabbing a top three pick, but stranger things have happened. Ask the Chicago Bulls when they got the number one pick for Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Ask Tim Duncan.
So you could potentially, in the draft lottery tomorrow, land a top three pick, but not have a general manager, and the draft is a month away. So now, are you keeping your same scouting staff in place if you get rid of your GM today and your president today? Is it still going to be the same scouting staff that's prepping for this draft that's going to have to do a fast track now in terms of pre-draft workouts and getting prepared in basically 4.5 weeks for the draft that's coming up on June 27th? Are you going to have a GM in place by then? If not, who's making your selection on June 27th then? There's a lot of things that are happening, and even if you don't bring back Colangelo today and you don't get a top three pick tomorrow in the draft lottery, you still have free agency, which is about 6 weeks away, starting on July 1st. Now, you don't have a ton of money to spend, but if, as Lewicki said, you have to be aggressive, and you might be looking to acquire players, and there's been even rumblings about this team going into the tax, if need be, to bring in the right players, to spend even more money to try and get that core fast-track and get this thing back on track. Well, are you going to have a GM in place by the time July 1st rolls around? And if you now have a search committee going for a general manager, well, have you missed out on opportunities to go after certain guys because it's taking you a month even to get to this point as opposed to the end of the season? If Colangelo is or isn't your guy, make a decision, because then you have an opportunity to jump on it from the get-go, and you could have been working this entire time to find a guy, which then, again, I know I'm rambling here, leads me back to what I said 5 minutes ago, that maybe the reason why it has dragged and we're ultimately at this day is because Colangelo is part of the bigger picture going forward. But again, it's all theories at this point, because I will say the one thing to their credit, Raj, is that they haven't said a word, nobody. It's been very tight-lipped. So it might be bad for me and you and fans and everything else, but from an organizational standpoint, as crazy and messy as it might look from the outside, at least there isn't leaks to the media and a bunch of rumbling and chatter like that. It's been pretty tight-lipped, because you haven't heard from Colangelo or Eversley or Stefanski or even Lewicki for the most part outside of his conference call, let alone anybody from the board. It's been very tight-lipped, and that's why I think a lot of us are kind of more guessing at this point and assuming at this point. I mean, we don't even know, Raj, when the decision comes, if it comes today. Are we waiting for a press release, a conference call at 10, noon, 4? You know,
yeah,
you're absolutely the holiday. Yeah. We don't know anything.